Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to What Culture Star Wars. This week saw some big changes for the galaxy far, far away, at least when it comes to video games, with Lucasfilm Games rising from the ashes to end EA's exclusivity deal with the Star Wars license, and announcing a brand new open-world Star Wars title coming from the Division 2 developers, Massive Entertainment. A new era of Star Wars games is upon us, but what's next for the series EA got right, and what games could possibly come next? I'm, of course, Ewan Patterson, and today with me to discuss the news is Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And hello there. A delayed hello there.
Yes, a delayed hello there. I was. It was a nervous hello there. The first Star Wars hello there of 2021.
Hello there.
It's weird how this sort of like this wealth of Star Wars like announcements is coming out of nowhere. How long ago did we have all the shows? And now we've getting all these games and. It almost feels like the mouse has sort of done what they thought they had to with getting the 789 out. And now it's just like, let's try something different. And also the High Republic, what was like last week as well?
Yeah, so yeah. I still haven't read that yet. I need to. I finished Alphabet Squadron's second book last week and now I'm moving on to Ahsoka. But it's a big deal because Lucasfilm Games, they have been around. I know a lot of people have said that this was their big return last week, but they have existed as an entity of Disney video games for a while now. But now they're taking a more active role in a way that I guess is kind of similar to what Marvel have been doing for a while now, you know, in terms of not just giving carte blanche to one publisher and developer to go ham with the license, but, you know, being a little bit more selective with who you're giving your stuff to. I mean, that hasn't always paid off given that we just had Marvel's Avengers last year. But, you know, it makes more sense than, say, giving the license to a publisher who then only goes on to make like 4 AAA Star Wars games in a decade. Yeah. Lucasfilm Games, they basically returned from the ashes last week and announced an Indiana Jones title that's coming from Bethesda, which we're both excited for because, you know, we both love Indiana Jones.
Yes.
And then literally the next day after, they announced the Star Wars stuff and it got leaked. It didn't get leaked. It broke on Wired magazine before literally anything else. And they revealed that Ubisoft's Massive Entertainment, who made the Division 2, will be working on a open world Star Wars title that's going to be using the Snowdrop engine from that game, and yeah, basically ushering in a new era of Star Wars games. EA will continue to make Star Wars titles as well. That's a very important thing to emphasize here. It's just that they no longer have exclusive access to the brand, which again, I think this is a good thing, because even though, you know, we can talk about how disappointing or, you know, misused EA's tenure with the Star Wars license was, they made some good games. You know, Star Wars Battlefront 2015 was enjoyable. Star Wars Battlefront 2 was phenomenal after the terrible launch it had. And then you have Jedi Fallen Order, which is fantastic. And then also Star Wars Squadrons. So, you know, and I think everyone will be relieved in a way because a lot of people are anticipating sequels to those titles. But yeah, Ben Roy, what are your overall thoughts on this now? Is this the right path that Lucasfilm Games have taken?
Well, first of all, I have to say I did a really good tweet the other day where it was...
EA,
was it Disney are altering the deal? Pray they didn't alter it any further.
Oh, that's good. I wish I'd thought of that.
It feels a bit like that. How they, it's did we ever get a, like, this is me thinking about, was it 10 years ago that they started making these games, if that's so, I'm dying inside. But when they signed this exclusivity, I didn't realize we had a set date on it. I guess they just kept it secret because of business.
Yeah, just to interrupt you, there wasn't a natural, there was some confusion over that in the report last week, because some people thought it was cancelled prematurely, or whether there was initial confusion over the initial announcement, whether it was like 8 years or 10 years or whatever. So, but yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, and it's funny because now this, especially this announcement, it feels like Squadrons was like, what can we make fast that we already have a bunch of assets for? Mm-hmm. And let's get, like, because it's not like Squadrons feels like crap or anything, right? That I'm trying to like get around it.
I really like Squadrons.
It was just like they had the ship sort of mechanics. They got the writer in for Battlefront 2 to write a story here. It just felt like, and it was a discounted title. It was like £40 here when it came out. But yeah, it just felt like Squadrons was like that last quick, well, let's get something out just so we can, like, you know, we've got the Star Wars license for one last minute before it spreads everywhere. But yeah, now that it's going everywhere, are we going to get this sort of like, you know, that time after The Phantom Menace came out?
Yes.
Having one or two Star Wars games a year at some point.
You know how many Star Wars games came out in 2005, Ben Roy?
Probably like four.
A mad amount. You had Lego Star Wars. You had Star Wars Battlefront 2. You had Star Wars Republic Commando. You had Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith. And I'm sure there's probably some RTS bollocks that I've completely forgotten about as well.
I had all of them in one way or another. And like, yeah, and like, because EA, look at this way, EA are never going to do like another Empire at War sort of like. So the fact that they're spreading out the license like this, and if people, now it seems like if people are pitching good things, then it's a go. Like, it seems like Eves and puts up his cloak, like, yes, I can't do it because my wife's here, but this is me being Eves, getting a Star Wars license to, let's do an Ubisoft open world game where we climb every sort of, I don't know, climb the Death Stars to reveal more of the galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing to move on to, because, you know, we pretty much covered the basics of the deal there, you know. The precedent that Lucasfilm have established now is that they're going to be listening to everyone, which opens up the door to all sorts of different studios to make all sorts of different Star Wars games. But of course, if they wanted their obligatory open world next gen title, then Ubisoft are the guys to go to for that. And, you know, in regards to this open world title, we don't know when it's set, who it's going to be about. But there is plenty to speculate there already, given Massive Entertainment's resume. You know, they did The Division 2, the creative director on the upcoming Star Wars game. The name has escaped me because I didn't write it down because I'm a numpty. But he is actually also worked on The Crew as well. So there's a history of, you know, open world, multiplayer co-op focused titles there. So
I hope we don't get a Crew-style Star Wars game. That's just saying that. I'll just put it out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think it'll be single player. That's just going to be my kind of take right now. I don't think it'll be single player oriented. And again, I'm fine with that, because we have Respawn's Fallen Order sequel that is definitely getting made to kind of, you know, occupy that quote unquote niche, if you want to call it that. But I'm also not particularly here for The Division, but make it Star Wars. As much as I want to play a Star Wars co-op game where me and my mates can customize our, like, costumes and win a space beanie after shooting 50 Greedos or whatever, Rodians. Yeah. I know they're called Rodians, I was making a joke. I'm still not particularly too keen on it being The Division, but Star Wars. But that's, again, that's probably really premature. We don't know what the hell form it's kind of take. But what do you think it's going to be?
It's weird, because I was trying to think of how The Division would fit into anywhere in Star Wars. I'm like, a squad of like mercenaries going around Coruscant, like in the lower levels or something like that.
Scoundrels, bounty hunters, smugglers.
Yeah, it just, but then like bounty hunter, like, because I to me it doesn't feel like bounty hunters are going around in a squad, but after watching so much Clone Wars recently.
Hey, like Boba has his own crew.
Yeah, Boba has his own crew. Get Dengar, as long as we get Dengar back in some form. Like, I just want to have a dirt nap with Dengar really at this point. I used to hate him, but now I'm just on Team Dengar. It feels like maybe if they were to do that, that maybe set it during the sort of like the 30 years between. I know it's like, oh, set it during the 30 years between A New Hope, not A New Hope, Jedi and Force Awakens, because, you know, then that's got sort of like the galaxies in a bit of turmoil. You can have people going around like a settlement and an open
planes and stuff, and sort of like it being lawless in a way. Other than that, maybe I don't think we're going to get any game set past Rise of Skywalker, just because they're just going to leave that alone until a film comes out. So it's probably going to be either that or set prior to Phantom Menace at this point.
Okay. Yeah.
And also, I was thinking, like, maybe they could just do a Clone Wars game. Like, take stuff from the Clone Wars series and aspects of that and just do something like that. Either way, it's going to be it's going to be a four-player squad game thing. I hope it's not just one of those games as jobs games where I've got to go on every day and, like, get a different a purple blaster compared to my blue color blaster. I don't want that sort of thing. But I'm skeptical, but I feel like it's got to be some. The galaxy's got to be. Well, it always is in turmoil, but I don't think you could set it during, say, like A New Hope and like Jedi and things like that.
Yeah, I definitely think in terms of, you know, we're going to talk about the overall expanded Star Wars canon. Most of the stories that we've seen, you know, in the past two decades, whether that be The Force Unleashed or Fallen Order or Star Wars Rebels or whatever. I know Force Unleashed isn't canon anymore, but
yeah,
a lot of the stories. The point I'm getting at here is that so many of them have occurred in that gap in between episodes 3 and 4. So I totally agree with you. I think the period between episodes 6 and 7 is a great window to explore, especially when you get towards the dying stages of that era, because we've seen the immediate aftermath of episode 6 now in a variety of media, you know, whether that be the Aftermath trilogy, Alphabet Squadron, Star Wars Battlefront 2, or The Mandalorian. So I think going a little bit further into that timeline does make a lot of sense. And, you know, it would make part of that, you know, Disney's and Lucasfilm's what a strategy in terms of focusing on that period with all the different TV shows. Because, you know, we've got The Book of Boba Fett come in. We've got Mandalorian Season 3 come in. We've got Ahsoka. We've got Rangers of the New Republic. So it would fit into their focus that they've got on that era right now, which I think would make a lot of sense. And yeah, I know, I totally agree. I have the same anxieties and fears as you do about this, Ben Roy. But again, you know, it's exciting that we do actually have something in the works. And I don't think this is one that's going to, I don't think this is an announced Star Wars game that's going to get cancelled, thankfully, because we've had way too many of them over the years. But yeah, moving on from Ubisoft's upcoming game, to talk a little bit about EA and the license. Now, after the initial report, although the initial report from Wired and then also Star Wars's official announcement on their website didn't say at all that EA weren't working with Star Wars anymore. In fact, it emphasized that they would continue to make Star Wars titles. They still had to have their little statement on Twitter being all like, hey, we're still here. Don't think we're done yet, because we're definitely still doing stuff, even though we've had our exclusive deal taken away from us. We're still doing Star Wars, which is good. I'm going to reiterate that I think that is a good move, because for as much as we can talk about how, you know, they cancelled Amy Hennig's Star Wars game, the more we hear about that project, it does seem as though there are a lot of behind-the-scenes problems there. And then they also cancelled Project Orca? I think it was the smuggler game that was coming from a different studio. I forget which one now, though.
The exact names, but I remember Jason Schreier saying 4 Star Wars games were cancelled.
But, you know, despite that, we have had some successes there.
Sorry to jump on you. It's not the era of when I had, like, say, a Starfighter game and then a Bounty Hunter game and then Battlefront. There's not so much variety, but like, I really, is it 2015, the first Battlefront? I mean, I enjoyed that. Like, I played it that for 200 hours. I played Battlefront 2 for 250 hours. Fallen Order, I enjoyed. I mean, even though I feel like Cal Kestis was a bit boring in spots. Like, I feel like you
could have
gone somewhere else. All the characters around him were interesting, more interesting. Like, everything else around him was more interesting, like, than him. And then Squadrons was kind of like, I played it and I just felt like, say, I think they shouldn't, like, put things like Leia or Vader or Rey Sloane in the marketing if they're going to be shown in 5 frames of the entire game. Because I really was hoping for, like, Rey Sloane in that game, like, more like delving into that rather than, like, say, this confined story. But then that's fine as well. It's, like, that was me getting my expectations too high. So it's weird. Like, more is good, and I didn't hate the EA stuff, so I want EA to, I feel like they've learned their lesson now, and I want a Battlefront, I want a current gen, I want a PlayStation 5 version of Battlefront 3. Like, I want it, and I'm not gonna say I don't. And give me what I want. And imagine, like, they could just, after some High Republic stuff, they could throw some of that in there. We could get extra Clone Wars.
Exactly. There is so much potential for a third Battlefront game. You know, I've spoken at length both on here and What Culture Gaming about how dumb EA's decision to end support for Battlefront 2 was. And, you know, looking at DICE...
You know where that is, isn't it? Because of
Exactly. And looking at, you know, DICE, there have been a lot of departures with that studio over the last couple of months. So, you know, Dennis Bramvell, who was the creative director on Battlefront 2, he's now no longer with DICE and, you know, put up a tweet the other month talking about, you know, quote tweeting a fan who was upset about how, you know, all this cool Star Wars content is coming, but yet we have nothing for Battlefront 2. And if DICE were allowed to continue with it, they would have made all these things. He just quote tweeted it saying, "I know," which hints at, you know, some frustration there. And
yeah,
I just hope that going forward, EA are much more supportive of these studios and allow them time to really bring their vision alive. And, you know, Battlefront 2, the issue with that game in the long term is that they really struggle to monetize it after the loot box controversy and the new progression system they introduced, because they didn't bring out enough cosmetics for people to buy. You look at Battlefield 5, they have cosmetics you can buy every single week. Each week, the store gets rotated in and out and you can buy stuff, and it encourages that, you know, that forced scarcity where you have those skins that people need to get. I'm not saying that I want to see that in Battlefront 3. However, if we want to see these types of games last longer, I would, you know, I'm just kind of saying that Battlefront 2's own demise was EA's own fault in a way. You know, they brought it back and then we're just like, ah, we're going to cut it loose. But I totally agree. I think Battlefront 3 is the priority for me because I really enjoyed Battlefront 2. I want to see like a new kind of Rise of the Empire campaign where you're a part of the 501st and you get to do all that stuff. I want to see new heroes, new eras. And yeah, just we had the stuff as well the other week where the actors from Star Wars Battlefront 2 story were doing motion capture together, weren't they? Yeah. So who knows what could come next?
It's interesting because they should do what they should. Everyone should look at Gears 5 and see how they've done it, where you can play that game and you can earn currency. It doesn't take a grind to get it, or you can just put some money in and do it and buy a skin. They've got a billion skins and characters in there, and I've managed to get pretty much everything by just playing it. So it is possible. They should do that. They should copy that system for Battlefront 3. And also, like, when you look back at the skins of Battlefront 2, like, why didn't we get Darth Maul with robot legs?
Why didn't we get Luke Bespin?
Why didn't we get Vader, like, damaged Vader, or Vader without the mask on, or something like that? Mm-hmm. So, cracked mask or anything like Grievous of a cloak. Like, we had some weird Grievous, but with a cloak would have been nice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Count Dooku as a Jedi, you know, things like that. Like they wouldn't have taken that much effort, but also at the same time, wasn't it like a massive problem that they had to sort of like go through Disney with every...
I heard that as well. And it's a weird one because, Yeah, like if you look at Battlefront 2 right now, it has a really strong modding community.
Yeah.
And every single week I'm seeing mods for this game that with like excellent skins and playable heroes, like Plo Koon, Kit Fisto, Qui-Gon Jinn, that sort of stuff, and Sabine Wren and all the Mandalorian content that's coming out right now. And it just does kind of exemplify how easy it would have been to make Battlefront 2 the complete game, although it never came to pass. But whatever, I won't dwell on it any longer. We'll move on to... Respawn and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order 2. We've known that's been in the works for a while now. I believe Jason Schreier, back when he was at Kotaku, talked about how, in the wake of Fallen Order's, you know, sales figures, the sequel got greenlit. And we know so much. Well, we don't know so much, but we know that obviously, you know, it will probably continue the adventures of Cal Kestis and the rest of the Stinger Mantis. I've actually got a quick editorial video coming out within the next week or so about a potential era that they could go for that game, so I won't spoil it too much here, but I do think it would make sense for Fallen Order 2 to tie in slightly with the High Republic, really lean into those Tomb Raider Uncharted-esque elements and have Cal and the rest of the Stinger Mantis maybe looking for a High Republic artifact the rest of the Empire are after. That's kind of where I'm really going with that idea. But yeah, Fallen Order 2, what do you think Respawn are getting up to, and what kind of features and stuff do you think we could see? Because I know a lot of the time when we were talking about the game when it released in 2019, we did kind of have that feeling that there was a sense of tragedy to the adventure of Cal and Seer and co, because any Jedi around about that time needs to kind of get out of the picture by the time that Luke Skywalker comes around. And obviously, you know, for Star Wars Rebels, I won't spoil anything, but both Ezra and Kanan find different ways of exiting the story before the events of, you know, Rogue One and Episode 4. So what do you think's coming?
I think, like, that series maybe has a game, one or two more games, and then, like, I feel like they could hand off that moniker of Fallen Order to Ahsoka. Like, maybe he's with her for a bit, and then, like, ultimately Cal sacrifices himself or dies to the hand of, like, Vader or something like that. Mm. Or maybe, like, he saves her. Like, I don't want, as I think we've said 100 times before, like, us in conversations on here, like, I don't want there to be, like, actually, there's, like, 100 Jedi alive in this time, and Luke's not special at all, because, like, the growing, I mean, I'm behind this, the growing sort of, like, oh, Mace Windu is going to be alive. I'm like,
no. No, you can't. You're not allowed to manifest that, Ben Roy. It's banned.
I mean, we never saw Plo Koon exactly die. Plo Koon could have jumped out that Jedi Starfighter as well. Like, at the last minute, you look at, if you pause it, you see something fly off the ship.
Kit Fisto was playing dead as well when Palpatine did that little fake. Is it? Does Fisto die when Palpatine does the weird face? Or is that before?
He just goes and just like slaps him with a saber as he's just really focused on Mace Windu. Everyone just sort of screams in terror, and Mace Windu's the only one who can sort of hold it down. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the problem I have with Battlefront 2, just going back to that quickly, is they were like, oh, you're going to play as the bad guys, you're going to play as Inferno Squad. And then in like 10 seconds, it was like, oh, actually, we've got real, like, sort of, it was like that for a level, and then it was everyone sort of like realizing, wait, like, we're the baddies.
Are we the baddies?
Yeah. And I really wanted to at least most of that to be, we're the baddies, before, like, I'm fine with the characters and the revelations in that story, but it just felt like you just lied to me.
Very by the numbers. I enjoyed the Battlefront 2 story as well, but yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, the actual Inferno Squad book that's set before that, you know, I think that's set, I believe, just before the Battle of Hoth or just after, I can't remember. That kind of spends more time with them, you know, as out and out villains. Are you going with this train of thought, the idea that maybe a Fallen Order sequel or threequel, because I expect it to be a trilogy, do you think they'll be more like anthology games where you play a different character in each one?
I think so. I would like that, like, because that way that EA can sequelize things as they like to do, but then they can go different places, because, like, again, like, unless people at Disney have the grand plan for Cal Kestis, and we didn't see him turn up in any shows, like, now we've got 100 shows coming. Is he going to pop up in one of them? As I've said before, it's a real actor. They chose a real human's face rather than making their own face. And, like, so I mean, that, I don't know, a lot of publishers and developers do this, but like, I just feel like there's a grander plan for Cal Kestis, or we knock him off in a game or two and maybe hand the franchise over to Ahsoka. And I want to delve more into...
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, I'm actually reading the Ahsoka novel right now, so...
Oh, well, yeah, I want to delve more into like just the gritty horribleness of the Empire, and I want them to like take a chance rather than the books doing all sort of the lift and work in that department, and like say the Battlefront book that I want to get to, and then the game's kind of just like, oh, actually we're all super happy friends and everyone's nice on the inside, even though that's lessons that you need to sort of learn and stuff, but you know what I mean, like, I want them to go places with Star Wars that they haven't done before, but still sort of like, you know, still have it so I guess kids can play it at some point.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I think Fallen Order 2 is probably the most anticipated Star Wars game that is in the works right now, more so than, you know, Ubisoft's upcoming title. But, you know, that's for good reason. You know, it's the first single-player Star Wars game, or single-player-focused Star Wars game, rather, because Battlefront 2 did have a campaign that we'd had in, crikey, the last one would have been Force Unleashed 2 before that, I want to say, which is, well, that came out in 2010. So that was nearly a decade without a single-player Star Wars title.
That I think that might have been shorter than the Battlefront 2 campaign. It was like 2 hours.
It definitely was. I was not happy in 2010, I'll tell you right now. But so Fallen Order 2, Star Wars Squadrons. I mean, I think I forget now, actually. This is, again, showing how ill-prepared I am, but I swear that EA Motive, they've got one project in the works, and I believe there was talk that they're doing another Star Wars title as well, but I can't remember now. But I would assume that maybe that might be a bigger Squadrons game, maybe? I don't know.
It's weird. I don't think you get mileage out of, say, like seven or eight Squadrons games. I feel like you...
Hey, the Rogue Squadron series, we got lots of games out of that.
Yeah, I feel like games were a lot cheaper to like make back then. Or something like, you know, they could crank them out faster. Here, it's like everyone just tries to do too much, and I feel like it would be a disappointment after a while. Like, I feel like, do they just do what Battlefront did and just go, oh hey, you can play in all airships now in this next one sort of thing, or do they just keep it focused on that time period, and do they go on with those characters that we have left at the game? That's the thing I'm wondering. But yeah, like, I'm here for another Squadrons game, but like, I'm pretty much going to play most Star Wars stuff that comes out. But I mean, more so than anything, like, the story didn't do it for me as much, but the gameplay and adjusting my shields and then diverting to the
multiplayer is so fun. When you get an actual team thing and you have a situation where like someone's like, I've got a mark on my six, and you're like, okay, I'm going to get him, and you get him, and it's like, that's great. That is a great formula.
And when it works, it works. And then sometimes when it just turns into two people flying in a circle trying to kill each other, then you kind of like, then it gets a bit frustrating. But yeah, like, I'm not so, I can take a bit of a longer gap with this one, like, unless they've got something that's really going to mix up. I more would like say, I'm here for more. Like, let's get Battlefront 3 where we can have ship combat. You know, the promise of Battlefront 3 OG, where we was going to have ground battles and you could fly into space?
Yeah.
Let's get that as a reality. I think, like, if No Man's Sky can sort of make that work, even though there's hidden loads there, like, let's try and get that going.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would love to see that. Battlefront 3 seems to be cursed as a title, but hopefully it'll come through. And we'll move on just to wrap things up. We'll talk about, you know, the unknown regions, as it were, of Star Wars games. Because now that basically, you know, Lucasfilm Games have opened up the door and inviting pitches from across the games industry, there is an ending array of... studios that could tackle Star Wars, and an endless array of genres even for Star Wars titles to actually come about. And obviously with Lucasfilms, you know, giving Indiana Jones to Bethesda and Todd Howard, you know, there is potential there to get a situation where you have a Star Wars and Indiana Jones gaming library that is maybe fractured across different, you know, console exclusivity deals. Because we don't know if Indiana Jones is going to be exclusive or not. Praying it won't, because I don't have an Xbox, but I could totally see why it would make sense for them to do that. In terms of studios that I kind of want to see tackle Star Wars, I think Codemasters doing a pod racing reboot is a no-brainer. I'd love to see that happen just so badly. I need part of the joy, you know, we're talking about that era where there were Star Wars games, like multiple Star Wars games every year, some forgettable, others great, is that they covered such a wide breadth of genres. And I want to see that come back. It can't just be all third person action adventure shooters. We need to have, you know, that return to the thing that made Star Wars gaming so great, is that you could embody a variety of different experiences in the galaxy far, far away. I'd also maybe quite like to see, you know, if we are going to go down the route of the light side and the dark side, not that I'm saying that either Sony or Microsoft are the light side or the dark side. Yeah. But I would maybe like to see either Sucker Punch or Sony Santa Monica get their hands on like maybe a lightsaber style game. And, you know, again, maybe EA will wake up, and I know BioWare aren't the BioWare of yore, but maybe we'll get a new Knights of the Old Republic or something like that. You know, we need, there are so many places they can go to here. So Ben Roy, who do you want to see make a Star Wars game, and what Star Wars games do you want to see made?
Obsidian do a Knights of the Republic style game straight away, like they did. They got screwed over with Star Wars, they got screwed over with Fallout, but then they've had their redemption Fallout story with the Outer Worlds. So now let them have their Star Wars redemption story by doing another massive RPG, or the condensed massive alluring RPG that we had with Outer Worlds. Like, let's get Obsidian back, and if they want to do a Star Wars game, let's get them on board. You got a feeling like, is it Sucker Punch that did Tsushima?
Yeah.
Sucker Punch or Bend do an Ahsoka game. Like, why don't we just have an Ahsoka sort of like, give me that Ahsoka style sort of like, I think I saw some people suggesting this on Twitter as well, but like, I want to play as Ahsoka, but I want to see the sort of like, the themes that we had in her episode, and like, I go with that and like, make it really sort of like lightsaber combat, like heavy, and make it, delve into like the areas of Fallen Order a bit more. But like, have her escape what they called the, is it the Vader's group of gang who attack
the Inquisitors,
have a story where Ahsoka's escaping Inquisitors or something like that.
I mean, they cover that story in the Ahsoka novel about, you know, how she got her white lightsabers and stuff, and it's because she stole the Inquisitors and then purified the crystals. But as we've seen, you know, with the cancelled Clone Wars episodes and that Ahsoka novel as well, and then with season 3 of the Clone Wars, Lucasfilm aren't strangers to redoing certain stories in different mediums. So yeah, that could totally happen.
With the books, they seem like the groundwork, and then things get tweaked out of the books when they see fit. So like, I mean, either take what the Ahsoka novel is there and like expand on it, or go around it in bits, but don't like, you know, totally erase it off the map. But yeah, I feel like just jump into this character that people haven't seen. It's like, give us something new. Ahsoka is still new to a vast majority of Star Wars fans, if you think of it that way. Like no one, compared to the people that watch the films or Clone Wars, like films is like way, way up there, and Clone Wars is like somewhere in the middle, I'd guess. And like, just explore that character more. And I'm sure we're having a TV show coming out, so even like, you know, well, a Disney Plus show. So like, sort of like, you know, have it around the same time. Like, I feel like that's just such a stable character to go from, and I think it would just work. Mm-hmm. And then Bend could do the way that Days Gone is, like you're a scrappy out in the wilds, like, and it's the sort of an apocalypse thing. Have Bend do one when you play like on a couple of planets like Jakku and stuff, you know, like scrounging around.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I'd also, purely for nostalgia purposes, I want to see a Republic Commando game. We already know that Delta Squad were brought back into canon with that one episode of the Clone Wars. I forget which one. I think it's when Savage Opress comes onto the scene and is murdering the Jedi, and they send Delta Squad to investigate. So we know they're in the canon. Yeah. I want to know what happens to Sev. That's what I want. I finally want that resolved. I don't know who would be best for that game. I certainly don't think that the team on Rainbow Six Siege would make sense for it, given their focus is on multiplayer. But, you know, if we can get a proper co-op oriented studio to do something like a Republic Commando sequel, I think that would be great. I haven't got anything else to say though, Ben Rory. I don't know if you have any other ideas that are brewing around in your brain before we say goodbye there.
I just want more. Like, I don't want 3-4 Star Wars games a year, but I'm interested to see. I wouldn't really want the standard Ubisoft style game, like the boiled down version. Who knows? Corey Barlog has been tweeting stuff about space for so long.
He mentioned The Mandalorian. I think it was Corey Barlog who wanted to do The Mandalorian, wasn't it? I can't remember now.
Yeah, and I forgot to say that that was one of my first things. Like, I want to see a Mandalorian game, because like, why not? Or play as another Mando, or play a game on Mandalore.
Yeah, go back to the Mandalorian Civil Wars. Flesh out those characters. Maybe even, you know, Jasta Muriel was brought back into the canon with season two. Maybe you tell the origin of Jango Fett and, you know, you take on, make it like Red Dead Redemption 2, where Jasta Muriel is sort of the Arthur Morgan figure in a way, and, you know, is the person who kind of raises Django. I don't know. There are so many different places you go. Yeah,
like you could expand on that sort of thing. There is so much we can do. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're going to get less cancelled games now because you're not going to have as, I think, some studios that are going to pitch ideas.
Everyone wants to have the opportunity. It's not just like they can get rid of it now. It's like if you have the opportunity to make a Star Wars game, you don't want to let that opportunity slip.
Devolver Digital like want to get in as well. Like I said, let's have some smaller titles as well. Yeah. I'm not really sure how that would manifest, but you know, we can have the massive Battlefront 3s and the Fallen Order 2s and everything and the Ahsokas, and then let's have some like little small things on the side. Not necessarily phone games, because I'm just retired in that aspect. I can't. My phone is just for Twitter and WhatsApp.
I'm too weak. Yeah. 2 weeks,
but that's all I really have, unless we have a explore like say 100-hour epic of Mace Windu, how he comes back to prevalence in the
here he goes again. But yeah, the conclusion we have here is that Star Wars is great and we're looking forward to seeing the new games. But I want to know what you all think of the Lucasfilm games Star Wars news with Ubisoft and EA down in the comments below. Or if you're listening to the podcast, you can actually go reach out to us on social media. We have a What Culture Star Wars account. You can also follow me if you want to at Ewan Ruins Things, and you can follow Ben Roy Turner on Twitter at
You can follow me at Ben Roy Turner. And I'm just sorry, I forgot to mention Thrawn. We need to sound Thrawn in there. Get some Thrawn titles in there.
Yep, totally agree. That's it, though. Be sure to subscribe to What Culture Star Wars as well. Don't forget, obviously, 2021 is a huge year for Star Wars. But anyway, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Later. Or a story about one lonely destroyer droid.
Or Mars Guo from The Phantom Menace.
Get Sleaze Bagano back in there.
Yes, Ellen Sleaze Bagano.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.